you have Romans. I'm sorry. Before I go further, I want to just acknowledge a young lady that the other weekend she from at St. Matthew Baptist Church in Boyce. She ministered for the first time. Amen. Had a good turnout and did officially the first time, because she has her own ministry. Amen. Going on, Sister Shaterica. Amen. Wave at everybody and tell them hello. Amen. Amen. 16 years old. Amen. And then we make excuses for all the rest of the kids why they can't do something. The devil is a lie. They don't want to do it. You know how smart and deceiving you was at 16? Come on. At 14, at 10. And we say what they can't do. All right. Amen. Back to the word. Romans 5. It says in verse 1, if you have it, say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. We praise him for his name. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. According to the will of God, this is his will this morning. Just from three words, I got hope. Amen. I got hope. I don't know about you, but I know what I have. Amen. I have hope in him. Amen. Amen. When we look at Romans, I often say that every Christian who calls himself a true, dedicated Christian should understand the book of Romans. They should read it in its entirety and learn from it. Amen. I always say that it is the gospel according to St. Paul. Amen. It is the gospel according to Paul, because Paul tells us and takes us from where we were in sin, alienated from God, and shows us how we become close to him and become sons of God. Amen. He tells us how this whole salvation thing works in the book of Romans. Amen. But when we look at Romans chapter 5, he's talking to us and continuing from chapter 4. Chapter 4 talks about Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham is the patriarch of faith. Amen. He's a great man that God imputes unto him righteousness because of his faith in God. Amen. This is important to us. Why? Because the only way that we can be counted righteous in God's eyesight is if we have the same kind of faith that Abraham had. Amen. Amen. And so many of us, some of us, we say we have faith, but is your faith truly a faith? Ask yourself, is my faith truly faith like Abraham had? Amen. Do I really trust God that he will give me what he promised? Do I count him faithful who has promised me? Amen. Amen. And so when we look at chapter 4, we find out that he tells us how Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. Amen. Many people got to realize that sometimes we stagger. Amen. What does it mean to stagger? You know what it means. It means that you can't walk right. You can't walk straight. Amen. You're stumbling. Amen. At certain things. Amen. Do we have any staggerers in here today? Yeah, we got some. Amen. Because many of you stagger at forgiving people. You stagger with bitterness. Lord, help me today. I'm in that zone. Y'all got to pray for me. Amen. We stagger at gossip because we can't help ourselves. We got to share it. Come on. We stagger when we see people that we can't love like we're supposed to. And the Bible clearly tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Come on and say amen. You know what I want to challenge you all to do? All of us, we need to be challenged today that when we see somebody staggering, come on and stagger for me a bit. When we see somebody staggering, we'll grab them and say, straighten up. Oh, come on and say amen. Because there's too many people in the church that say anything, do anything, act any kind of way, and we don't straighten them up. Come on and say amen. Oh, they stagger too much. Amen. I didn't hurt you, Dana. But that's what we need to do. We need to jerk them and say, hey, you need to straighten up your walk, straighten up your talk, straighten up your attitude. Oh, come on and say amen in here. He didn't stagger at the promises of God. Amen. And then it tells us how God had promised him, and he was able to perform the things that he promised. And then it goes on to say how, but for us also, whom also has it, this has been imputed, that we believe that he raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Then it tells us that who was delivered for us and for our offenses, but raised unto our justification. Amen. Now, justification is very important, and I hope you understand what justification is all about. But many people don't understand true justification. Amen. Because we don't understand it, and we try to figure it out, and we give our own take on things. But let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says here now, we find out in verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are justified by what? Faith. We're justified by our trust, our confidence, our belief in God. And we know now, Galatians tells us that faith works by what? Love. You can't have faith if you don't have love. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so he says, we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to give you some things right quickly so you'll see, and it's in the text, but I want you to see that justification brings first, it brings peace. Amen. Justification brings peace. Not only does it bring peace, but it brings grace, it brings hope, and it also brings suffering. Nobody wants to hear that part. Amen. Justification, first thing he says, it brings peace. Come on and say amen. He says, because he says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at the word justification, amen, the word in the Greek is diakon, which means to count, to treat, to look upon, or to judge one as something when they are may not be whatever you're judging them to be. Come on and say amen. A lot of us do that unrighteously. Amen. We judge people to be something when they are not. Come on and say amen. When you see the Greek word and has the word O-U-N at the end of it, it does not mean to make. It means to count. Amen. And so what happened to us is that we were sinners. We were guilty of the sin. Amen. But God turns around and treats us like we never did it. Lord, help me today. He says that, justification is necessary because sin alienated us from God. Justification is necessary because the sin we commit angers God. Come on and say amen. But because of justification, God looks upon us and say, you're all right. Have mercy in here. Oh, yeah, I got hope today because of the justification that God gives me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the first thing here we got to see is that justification gives us peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives. The kind of peace that the world gives is escapism. I don't want to be around it. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to move. I got to get out of here. I'm not going today. Come on and say amen. That's the kind of worldly peace that you get. But this kind of peace, justification, that gives us the peace of God, it means that if it's not right, I still got peace. You're not going to disturb me one bit if you show up. Come on and say amen. It's not going to disturb me what I'm going through. It has no bearing on whether or not I'm going to give God all I got. Amen. We give all we got to sin, but how about giving all you got to serve? Praise him anyway. And so when we look at it, God justifies us, or basically he credits us and counts us right because of our faith in Christ. Come on and say amen. And so he says that we have peace with God. Now we've made peace with God through Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace on your own accord. Oh, come on and say, man, I don't care how right you think you are and how many times you pray a week, how many words you can read in a minute in the Bible. It doesn't matter, because that does not make you right. It doesn't justify you before God. You can read, you can know the Bible front, back, cover to cover. It does not justify you before God. What justifies you is your trust, your faith, your belief in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen. And so when we look at this and we start saying, well, I'm more right, or I'm just because I did this and I've been in this long and I've done this that long. Come on and say amen. That don't mean that don't amount to a hill of beans. Amen. But what matters is that I have so much love for God, so much trust in him, that I'm not going to be moved no matter what comes my way. But many of us, we move from one place to the next. We move in our attitude. Come on and say amen. We move with our heart not being right toward others. Come on and say amen. We move, amen, from doing the service that we should to committing the sin that we shouldn't. Come on and say amen here. We've been justified, and we've been given peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You have to go through him. It has to be done through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if we look at the picture of what happened, how we are to put on Christ, amen, put on the whole armor of God. What is the whole armor of God? It's not just an armor. This is Christ that you're putting on. He tells us to take off the old man, put on the what? New. We need to put on the whole armor. Christ is salvation, the helmet of salvation. He is your breastplate of righteousness. Come on. He is the truth that girds your loins about. He is the gospel that has your feet shod. Come on. He is faith, because you can't see him, but you know he's real. He is the sword of the spirit, because he is the word of God. This is Christ. Come on and say amen. And so when we put on Christ, then we're just justified. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at justification, we need justification, because it gives us, first off, peace. Amen. It gives us peace. Then it says, look at verse 2, and we're going to get into my point now. Verse 2 says, and by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says, by whom we also have access. Now, the first thing that we understand here is that when you got hope, you got grace. Oh, Lord, help me today. He says that by whom we have access by faith. Now, the only way that you can get to God, in the presence of God, or in the good graces of God, is by faith. Come on and say amen. The word faith here is the word pistis, which means trust. It means belief. Come on and say amen. It means to have confidence in God. Amen. And so when we have confidence in God, amen, he says we have access into his grace, or into his good standing. Amen. When we do it, we have access into his good standing, or into his favor that is undeserved. Amen. And look at what it says. He says, wherein we stand. What is he saying here? He's saying that when we're justified, we don't have to go in as if, you know, we know we're guilty. Come on and say amen. We know we're guilty, but we don't have to go in and be a beggar. Come on and say amen. The Bible said to come boldly to my throne of grace. Come on and say amen here. And so we don't have to go in as a beggar. He said, but you'll stand. Come on. Look at what it said. He said, wherein we were stand. Didn't say wherein we lie down. Didn't say wherein we kneel down. But what that really puts us in the mind of is that we're standing in the courts, and in the majestic courts of God. And since we're in his courts, we can stand in his court, because we are justified. He counts us and treats us as if we are okay and we are right because of our faith in Christ. And so when I'm standing in his presence, I'm not standing as one petitioning him for something that I don't have, but I'm standing as a servant. Oh, come on and say amen. When you go into the courtroom, amen, the servants, they stand up, amen. The servants don't have to come and plead the mercies of the court because they're there in, as a part of the court, amen. They're there to help the court. Come on and say amen. And so here we are. We are supposed to be able to come stand in the courts of God and say, God, now I'm not here to ask for the mercy because I got faith that you've given it to me, but I'm here because there's a dying world out there that needs it. Somebody say amen. And if you can use it, if you can use me, I've seen your work in others. And Lord, I want you to work in me. Come on and say amen. And so I don't go into the courts of God saying, Lord, I'm poor, I'm weak. Come on and say amen. But I go and I stand up. Amen. I come boldly to the throne of grace. God, oh, come on. God looks at you and he gives you justification so that you can access his presence and be in his presence and stand there. Amen. As one that belongs there. You can tell the person who don't belong. They try to slide in. Or they come in, you know, bow down. But the person who belongs there, they don't mind standing up and say, this is where I belong. Do I have any stand-up Christians? I'm going to stand up and say, I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to stand up and say, I'm going to treat my neighbor right. I'm going to stand up and say, I'm going to forgive and live. Come on. I'm going to stand in this grace. I'm standing, amen, in this undeserved favor. I don't deserve it, but by God, I'm here. Amen. I don't deserve it. Yes, I'm guilty. See, what we got to get out of our mind is our natural court system. We think about justification, and we think about a man who goes to court, and then they acquit him of something, and then he just get away with it, and then, you know, but it stays on record that we tried him for this. Come on and say amen. But the thing about it with God is not like that, amen? Nobody knows the trial. Nobody knows the trial date. Nobody knows the evidence that's against you. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to get that out of our mind. And so what we do know is that the one that you met with in the courtroom, who is God? He knows that you're guilty, but he decides to look at you and say, it's all right. Oh, yeah, because you got hope that you're going to get out of this. Come on. You got hope and confidence that I forgive you, that I'm going to let you live. Come on and say amen. I hope I'm helping somebody today. For all y'all deep folks, it might not be for you today. Amen. But I hope somebody's helped today by understanding that as long as you got hope, you're justified. Amen. Look at this. He says that by faith into his grace wherein we stand. We stand in his grace. Amen. I don't know where you're standing. Amen. Some of you standing in the wrong position. But we need to stand in his favor. Amen. His divine favor. And then I like what Peter said. Peter said, and he gives more grace. If you stand there humbly, amen, if you submit to him, he gives more grace to the humble, amen. He resists the proud. Some of you so proud, you won't admit that you're wrong sometimes. Some of you so proud, you won't admit, come on and say, man, that you got issues and I need help. God, I can't forgive my brother. I need some help. Come on and say, man, I can't forgive my sister. I've been hating them for 9 years. Oh, come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, we can't get in ourselves and admit that we got an issue because we want everybody to think that we're right. When you want everybody to think you're right, you're probably most likely wrong. And only person I need to know about being right is God himself. And when he looks at me and I'm standing in the good graces of God, nobody else don't matter. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what how guilty you say I am, how evil you think I am. As long as I'm standing in God's good grace, you don't matter because God is the only one that matters. He's my true judge, amen, and he's the only one that can set me free. You don't have to say man because I'm preaching. Oh man, I'm preaching to myself. Oh yeah, I don't care if anybody say man because I know that if I stand in the good graces of God, amen, that can't nobody touch me because I got hope, I got confidence that he's going to allow me an opportunity to live on. He's going to give me eternal life, everlasting life. Oh, come on and say amen. Grace. When you got hope, you find the glory of God. Look at part B of verse 2 says, and rejoice in the hope of his glory. Rejoice in the hope of his glory. Amen. The word hope, as I said, is not the worldly hope. It is not a hope saying that I have a desire for something. I hope I get it. I have a want. I hope so. That's not what it's talking about. Because that kind of hope leaves you disappointed at times. That kind of hope leaves you in being deceived at times. Come on. But this kind of hope is a hope that never disappoints you. This kind of hope is a hope that never confuses you, never deceives you. It is a kind of hope that makes you realize that the light of God is shining in your dark situation. Look at what it says. He says that rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I rejoice in knowing that God will shine through. You know how they say there, behind the clouds, the sun is shining. Amen. We got to know that the storm, even though it's here, the sun is still shining. Somebody say amen. And all I'm saying is that when you got hope, you realize that I need to rejoice. In other words, the joy that's on the inside. I need to show that I'm happy, I'm glad, I'm rejoicing, amen, because of the glory. Because God has smiled on me. He has set me free. I'm rejoicing because the glory of God, the light of God, not only shines on me, but it shines through me through all that I'm going through. Oh, my God, here. Oh, yeah, instead of me accusing others and being mad with others, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to rejoice. Come on. Let's go on a little further. Let's look at verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Not only will God's glory be manifest to us while we're in this. Oh, come on and say amen. Not only will God's glory be manifest, he said, but we glory. Not only will God shine, but we shine too. He's the Father of lights. Come on and say amen. And since he's the Father of lights, I'm his son. Don't I get to shine sometime too? Yeah, God, shine on. They used to sing that song. I remember, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse. You know what? But when the light shines on me, it looks like I'm shining. Oh, yeah. Come on and say amen. You ever looked at somebody and they're oily and the light shines on them and it looks like they're shining? Boy, you lit up. You glowing. Why? It's because of the oil that's, you know, you got oily skin, you know. But really what it is the anointing of God that's on you. And so since I'm all down with the presence of God and his light shines on me, it looks like I'm shining. And so look at what he said. He said that not only. Not only will God shine through your situation, not only should you rejoice at God's shining, at God's light being revealed, amen, but you ought to glory in your tribulation. When I'm going through, can I give God glory? But not only that, can I say that, hey, I'm still shining through all. Oh, yeah, they tried to put dirt on me. I'm still shining. Oh, come on and say amen. They tried to cover me up. Oh, come on. You ever put a light under a towel? You try to cover it up. It still what? Shine. I was talking to somebody one day, and they had their cell phone in their pocket, and it just lit up. And guess what? Even though it was hidden in their pocket, I can still see it. Oh, come on, shining. Do anybody here realize that God wants you to shine? You need to start asking people, are you lit up today? Oh, yeah, I need to light you up, amen? I need to spark, come on, I need to spark some kind of anointing on you so that you will light up in this place, amen? Oh, yeah, anybody need a spark? The Bible said that we are lively stones, and every time a rock hit another rock, there's a spark that goes up. And so I got to sometime hit you and say, hey, son, you got to light yourself up. Amen. And so when I hit the spark, there's some kind of fire that could start from just a little bit of spark. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, glory be to God. Y'all don't want this morning. But look at this. He said that not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. So, you know, we think we glory only when we're blessed. Oh, I have this and I have that and God has blessed me with this and we're pompous and pious and glory to God and we got it going on and we got a good job and we have our tithes are $200 a week and we just, you know, on and on and on. That's when we think we're glowing, we're shining, you know, we bling, we shining right then. But guess what? He's saying that's not the time when you really shine. The time when you really shine is through your tribulation. When you seem like you're so far away from God. because of what you're going through, that's your time to shine. Basically, he's saying this. You got to get this. I wish somebody would just help me preach this today. Amen. He's saying that you're just like the moon. The moon is like the church. Oh, come on. Jesus is the sun. The sun shines on the moon. The moon reflects the light to an earth that is dark. Come on and say amen. But the one thing about the moon is that when it's so close to the sun, all you see is a quarter of it. Oh, come on. If it's real close, if it gets in the pathway, you can only see the silhouette of it. Uh-huh. Come on and say amen. And they call that an eclipse. Come on. But when the moon moves back, you can see a quarter. And as further as it go back, you can see the half and a three quarters. But when it's furthest away from the sun, you see the full moon and the full glory. And that night is so bright. You say, my, the moon looks so close today. And see, what you got to realize is that God wants you to shine when it looks like you're so far away. I feel like I'm so far away from God, but God wants you to shine. Come on. God wants you to shine. And look, and the people in the earth say, man, the moon look mighty close. And so you need to get close to somebody who's in a dark place so that they can see the glory of God while you're in your tribulation. Y'all don't want this morning, but we thank God. Amen, for the ones that do. He said that you glory in your tribulation also. Now, the word tribulation, we got to look here. The word tribulation, it means pressure. Amen. Simple word. Amen. We're just going to use that one. It's got a lot of other meanings, but we're going to use pressure today. Amen. He says that we glory in our tribulation also, knowing that tribulation, we got to see here, we glory in the pressure. I'm under pressure, and so I bring a light. Amen. When I'm under pressure, that's when I shine the best. Come on. Come on and say amen. When I'm under pressure, I look pretty good, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to under pressure. Amen. We got to realize, I told you a while back, that the way you handle pressure determines how much power you have. Come on. What I mean is, the reason why we can say an engine is a 350 or whatever, four whatever, the power of an engine is determined by the amount of pressure in the combustible chamber. That's what makes it go as fast as it go. That's what makes it as powerful as it is. Come on and say amen. When you say I got 350, I got 400 horses under here, what it's saying is that I got power in the combustion chamber that if you try to race me, I will outrun you. Come on. I can go from 0 to 60 in about 2.3 seconds. Come on and say amen. And so what I'm saying is that the pressure that's applied to you sometimes, you need to realize that pressure is only there so that you can accelerate. Yeah. Why they hate? You can get down the road, amen? Oh, yeah, you can leave them in the dust. Oh, come on and say amen. And so the amount of pressure applied to me only makes me more powerful, only shows you what I got under the hood. Oh, come on and say amen. And so since I'm being pressured, I'm going to show you what I got under the hood so you'll know, oh, come on and say amen, that the glory of God rests upon me.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt. Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word.